Looking forward to the Good Friday service this Friday. If you're able to, come on out. Excuse me. Let me hide. Friday morning, 11 o'clock, Emmanuel Baptist Church. I'm sure there'll be a good crowd there. And I'm sure it'll be a good time of fellowship and blessing as we think on the Lord and what He's done for us. And then following the service, there'll be, as Brenda's been sharing, a potluck blessing. I think it's downstairs and or upstairs. I'm not sure how they do it, but they'll spread it out, and we'll have a place to sit down and eat and have some fellowship there. So keep me in your prayers, and that ministry, it's an outreach as well. So if you know anybody that you think would maybe come to a Good Friday service where they don't normally go to church or wouldn't normally go, that sometimes gives us an opportunity to sort of make that special invitation. Why don't you come on out to a Good Friday service? That's a good opportunity to do that. So keep it in prayer and keep it in mind if you would. Remember also, just by way of prayer requests, we mentioned, of course, Ross, but keep in mind the folks that are away, some folks that are traveling, and lots of folks sick, dealing with different ailments and illnesses, and I don't know, you might want to not shake my hand on the way out. I'm getting a cold or whatever's been going around, so I won't be offended if you just wave at me from a distance. I don't feel too bad, but I can hear it in my voice. I wanted to begin this evening as we take a look at a bit of a different topic. We're not going to go to Exodus chapter 5 is actually where we're going to go next time we're there, next week. But I just wanted to do something a little different tonight. I guess you could say something topical as it's been rattling around my brain a little bit. I think it's something that is relevant, something that we all deal with. And it has to do with emotions. Emotions are part of the human experience. And Al was asking me, he usually comes to me and inquires about sermon titles. And I'm not always a sermon title guy. Sometimes I am, sometimes I'm not. And sometimes I have to come up with them kind of quickly. And I did tonight. And then I said, no, let's change that. And at his suggestion. So that the sermon title is, Can Christians Be Sad? Or that was my original version. And then he said, Can or Should? And I don't think he realized that it was a very theological question when he said that. I think he was thinking along the lines of grammar, but I thought, that's a good question. Can or should? So I changed it. We agreed. Yeah, make it, should Christians be sad? Well, that's the topic for this evening. And excuse me as I swallow some water. When it comes to emotions, we experience a full range. God has given them to us. It's part of the human experience. It's part of how we are designed, the machine that is the body. The body, the mind, the soul, all of these things, the spirit, the soul, and the body, I should say, all of these things work cohesively together. We're really quite amazing creatures. I'm not trying to brag on us, but in the way that God has designed us, it's amazing. And we are often in awe of how our bodies work and how our minds work and our brains work. And you can Google there's all kinds of things that scientists still don't understand. They don't understand how this works in our body. They don't understand how the eye works in this way. They don't understand how this happens. There are so many questions that they still have unanswered. And it's because God is God. When He creates something, it takes a little time to sort of figure it out. And He allows us to do that by His leading and wisdom that He's provided us. But the point is part of the human experience is a range of emotions. And so the question, should a Christian be sad? Let's start with this. Should a Christian be angry? You don't have to answer, but think about that. Should a Christian? It's not, can I? Yeah, we all know we can be angry. We sometimes have to deal with that emotion. But should a Christian be angry? Well, the Bible gives us some guidelines on anger. It says, be angry and what? Sin not. That's kind of a relief. Yeah, I can be angry at times. There's times when it's okay for me to be upset, frustrated, angry about something, especially when it's my own sin. I should be angry. And we just have to be careful not to cross the line from being righteously angry into being unrighteously angry and sinning against God. What about the emotion of happiness? Should a Christian be happy? Of course. Now, we can answer that pretty easily here in this group. I know that. We understand that. But I've met some Christians, I don't think they realize that. You're allowed to be happy. You're allowed to giggle and laugh and have a good time, once in a while. It's okay to put a smile on your face. If you've got joy in your heart, let your face know from time to time. So that, with the rest of us, oh, there it is. We knew it was there all along. Sometimes these emotions, we don't know how to handle them, and we sometimes can be overbearing with them. We don't want to, show our hand or wear our heart on our sleeve. And other times, we're all over the place, sloppy, hot messes, We're just all this and all that, weeping and crying and frustrated and angry and upset. Emotions are sometimes a challenge for us. And so we have guidelines in the scripture to help us manage our emotional behaviors. And that's why the Bible says things like, be angry, but sin not. Don't be so angry that you break my commandments. Don't hit your loved ones. Don't, you know, murder. Don't do those sorts of things. Likewise with the emotions of, I jotted down fear, happiness, being irrational, worry. These are some of the experiences that we have as human beings, and all of that is very normal. We all deal with fear from time to time. We all have concerns. We all are happy, and sometimes we're sad, and we don't always understand. You ever wake up and you were just kind of in a foul mood? I know you have, because I have, right? You're like me. Sometimes you don't even know why. Maybe you're in a sort of a down, a blue mood, we'll say. I'm kind of blue. I don't know why. And there's times when we go through seasons when we're a little depressed, we're a little blue, we're a little undone, and we can't really figure out the reason. Or maybe we're just in a bad mood, and it could be that all you need is a Snickers bar. That could be true. Or maybe there's something else going on, or maybe you don't know what the solution is. But we have to wrestle with these emotions. And I would say that at least the one that we're going to look at this evening, the emotion of sadness, is one that we all are well acquainted with, and it can sometimes seem to be the most overwhelming. I want to read from Psalm chapter 51, just quickly, verse 17. It says this, "The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise." In answer to the question, should a Christian be sad? I believe the answer is yes. Will they be? Absolutely. But is it wrong? And that's what I was kind of driving at. Is it a sin for a Christian to be discouraged, to be depressed, to be sad? And I would say absolutely not. Now, it's a sin when we allow those emotions to begin to conduct us behavior-wise. When I let my anger sort of run the show, well, now I'm in a difficult spot. Now I'm going to start making mistakes. I'm going to start sinning against God, doing things that I regret, things that I'm ashamed of. Likewise, when I allow sadness to dictate how I deal with life, how I handle loved ones, how I handle my God. When I'm sad and I throw my hands in the air and say, all is lost, there is no hope for me, what I've done as a Christian is I've negated the truth of God's word. I've said, it can't be true, or it isn't true, or I reject the truth of God's word. As a Christian, I might be sad, but I should always hold on to the truth that God's word is true. There is hope. There is encouragement from the God of all comfort. So again, to answer the question about sadness is yes, Christians are going to be sad. And God doesn't look at our sadness and say, how dare you be sad? Where is your faith, some might say. I've heard that, by the way. Or if you're dealing with depression, Christian, it must be because there's sin in your life. If you're sad, it must be because you don't have enough faith. And all that does is cause me to be even sadder. Oh, great. Now I'm dealing with this issue that's made me sad, and I don't have the faith to conquer it. Thanks. That really helps. You know, if I am discouraged or depressed, it doesn't mean that I don't have enough faith. It means I live in a broken world where there is discouragement and depression. John 16:33, Jesus Christ said, in the world ye shall have what? Tribulation. He told us. He didn't sell us a lie. He didn't give us this sort of cakewalk bowl of cherries story about how life was going to be. He said, in the world you're going to have difficulties, tribulation. It's going to be difficult. You say, well, are you sure, Lord? Absolutely. Then they crucified him. You know, he understands. In the world ye shall have tribulation. It's also a part of the human experience, and it's because of sin. The sin curse that has corrupted the whole world has caused some of these things to be a little harder to deal with, like sadness. Let me read the verse again. The sacrifices of God, in regards to the things that I can offer God, you know, There's a little child that spends his kindergarten class time with his teacher and his classmates making this little clay heart for his father. And he worked so hard on it, and he was so invested in it emotionally, and the teacher talked about how happy his parent was going to be, and the kids were all excited, and they were showing their hearts to one another and talking about their hearts, and they colored them up and painted them up. And this little boy, on the way home, he was looking at his heart, kept taking it out of his little bag and looking at it. He was so excited to show it to his father. And somewhere between the bus and the house, he dropped the little heart from his hand to the sidewalk, and it shattered. And not only was his little clay heart broken, but his little heart was broken too. Because all day he had been thinking about, going to his father and bringing him this gift. And now all he saw were the broken pieces of the gift, and he thought, I have nothing to give to my father. And he started to cry, and he scooped up all the little pieces, and he brought them into the house, and his father was there, and he said, son, what's the matter? And the little boy said, I brought you my harp, but I dropped it, and it's broken. And the father took his hands, and he set them under the little boy's, and he said, let me see those pieces. He said, I'm going to help you put this back together again. And together they glued all of those little pieces together. And the little boy and the father mended that little heart. And they shared a moment that really encouraged this child and the father as well. And that's simply to share this, the idea that we sometimes have to bring our broken hearts to our father. You know, he's never disappointed. He never says, what? That's not what I was looking for. That's not what I want. Give me something better. When we bring our broken hearts, our broken contrite spirits to God, he doesn't reject us. It says, actually, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. We can offer our brokenness to the Lord as a sacrifice. Let me share a little poem with you that sort of describes what I'm talking about or what this verse is talking about. And you can relate to it, I'm sure. As a Christian, I carry a cup of grief within, filled to the brim with tears that spill at every little stumble. I'm taking it to the Lord. You know, sometimes we become so overwhelmed with life that do you ever get to that point where it feels like you're carrying a cup of grief within and at a drop of a hat and somebody says something, somebody looks at you the wrong way and out comes the tears, every little stumble and it seems like it's spilling out everywhere you go and you're, why am I like this and where is this sadness coming from? Well, the end of that little poem describes what we need to do. Bring it to the Lord. Take it to the Lord. When there is sadness, when there is grief, when our hearts are overwhelmed, he is the heart mender. He is the one that can fix it. He's the one that can bring us comfort. And so it says, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou will not despise. He will not reject it. And like that little boy, we can bring our broken hearts to the Father, and he'll help us. He'll mend those hearts, and we'll have joy again. What causes sadness? Well, grief. Sometimes we lose loved ones. We understand that. Might have an off day. We don't understand sometimes why there is grief. There is brokenness in the world. Relationships cause grief. We know that sadness is a part of life. Turn in your Bibles to Psalm chapter 34 just for a minute. Psalm 34. I want to share here quickly this evening just three things to remember in regards to sadness. But before we do, Psalm chapter 34, verse 17, 18, and 19. Just to demonstrate what Christ said in John 16, that in the world there is tribulation, and that when we bring our broken hearts to the Lord God, he draws near to us. He doesn't despise our brokenness, but he mends our brokenness. In Psalm chapter 34, verse 17, it says, the righteous cry, and the Lord heareth. Notice it says, the righteous cry. Well, if you're doing everything right, if you've got all kinds of faith, if you're walking with God, what do you have to be upset about? Everything should be peachy keen. Everything should be perfect. No wealth issues, no health issues. No, that's not true. That's not true. We know it's not true from the Word of God. We follow all kinds of characters that wept and mourned and grieved. Jesus Christ himself was a man of sorrows, Isaiah said, acquainted with grief, intimately, the Son of God. And so we understand that these are things that we're going to experience. It says here again in verse 17, the righteous cry, and the Lord, what? He hears. You know, sometimes people feel so sad, they're so alone, and they cry, and they think to themselves, nobody hears me, nobody is listening. You know, as Christians, we should be listening. I love it when a Christian just notices some of the most wisest of us as Christians pay attention in ways that I just can't do. And every once in a while, somebody will look at somebody else, or they'll look at me, and they'll say, you seem sad. And they got it, you know, and they know. I'm like, how do you know? But instead I reply, yeah, you know what? I am. And it's in that moment when I've revealed a little insight, a little truth to somebody else who cares about me enough that they're going to take that to the Lord and say, Lord, be with Tim. Encourage his heart. And this is the sort of help that we can have when we look to the Lord God, when we look to one another. He hears us. And he helps us. He listens to us. Others around us listen to us. It says, and delivereth them out of all of their troubles. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart. Now listen to that. The Lord is nigh or near to them that are of a broken heart. When you are so broken, and I bet you've been there. I know that you have. There was, I can remember one specific time I'm thinking back many years ago when I was so broken over something, weeping so hard, I remember for just a moment, I sort of thought to myself that something deeper broke within me. Like, whoa, that is a depth of sorrow that I didn't know I had, that I didn't know I could reach. And sometimes that's what we experience. And in those moments, it's important to know that the Lord is near. That the Lord is near. As it says, the Lord is nigh or near unto them that are of a broken heart and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. And so sadness is something that we experience, but it's a part of life. It doesn't have to be a way of life. There is hope. There is help. God hears. God will deliver us. God will draw near to us in those moments. And sometimes we feel like others aren't listening and that they don't care. Nobody understands. And people will do drastic things because they genuinely feel like nobody cares. And if they only knew, oh, God loves you so much. He cares. And we just literally read this verse that tells us that he draws near to someone. Like, the Lord is listening. I hear that cry. I see your sorrow. I want to come near you. The God of all comfort wants to comfort us. And when we acknowledge that, when we reach out to him, when we seek that comfort, we have it. We find it. Just three things here this evening in regards to sadness. Three things to remember. Here's the first one. When sadness comes, capture your thoughts and count your blessings. When sadness comes, capture your thoughts and count your blessings. And this is a retaliatory response to sadness. Again, we need to rein it in sometimes, like our anger, our impatience, our frustration. You ever notice that? Sometimes you got to rein it in. You know, right? We know within ourselves if we're, okay, I'm starting to get a little carried away with this. I need to rein it in. You know, we need to do the same thing with sadness. And I don't know what it is sometimes about these emotions. We tend to want to wallow in them. I want to stew in my anger for as long. I want to really wallow in it, just enjoy. I got a good hate on for somebody, you know, and I just want to stay there for a while. And we sometimes do that with sadness. And we call it a pity party, right? We kind of stay there. We dwell in that place. And that's where it can be dangerous. Again, capture your thoughts and count your blessings. Sadness can make us think things. And what we need to learn to do is think in a biblical way, and that really helps. Turn to Philippians, please, chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. All right, keep your finger there. I'm going to read for you a reference from 2 Corinthians chapter 10. I partially quoted the verse here. It says in verse 4 of 2 Corinthians first. Sorry to make you go to one place and then read from another. But let me read. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4 says, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds." So we're talking about a war, a battle. Sometimes we battle our depression, our anxiety, our sadness. It can be a real battle, and we understand that. And we talk to people who are in those battles from time, and that's what we're talking about. As Christians, we are also in these battles, and it says that our weapons are not carnal. If I could hit my sadness with a stick and chase it away, that'd be good. I'd do that. I would throw rocks at it until it's gone. But that's not the kind of battle that we're in. And the battle that we're in takes God's help in order to pull down those strongholds. Verse 5, it says, "Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." And so again, capturing our thoughts, what we mean by that, or what I think about when I think of this verse, is choosing to remember what the Word of God says. Not allowing my sadness to overwhelm me or to define me. My identity is in Christ. My identity is tied to hope. It's tied to God's grace and comfort. He is near me. So though I experience sadness, all is not lost. I can keep moving forward in his strength. But sometimes it's a matter of taking those thoughts captive. In other words, I've got to literally tell myself, you know what? I'm not going to wallow in the sadness any longer. It's not helping. It's making it worse. I'm gonna think a little bit differently. I capture my thoughts. I say, hold on a second. You know, sometimes we think about things that never happen. We worry about things that never come to pass. If all the things that we worry about actually happen, I mean, well, that'd be bad. But we worry about so many things. We stress about so many things that never come to pass. And so if we take those thoughts captive, we are in control instead of those emotions, instead of that sadness. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 says this, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And that phrase, be careful about nothing, is to say, don't be anxious about anything. Don't worry about anything. Be careful about nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. So we pray. We don't worry. We don't allow sadness or anxiety or discouragement or depression to consume us. When we see those things creeping in, we go to the Lord God and we pray. We make these things known to Him, it says, or known unto God. Verse 7, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So there's a promise there that when I make that effort to go to the Lord God and to say, look, God, I'm going to pray about this issue. It's causing me difficulty. I'm sad about this, or I'm concerned about this, and I'm going to pray to you. I'm going to bring it to you. The Bible says that the peace of God, which passeth all understanding. Right, Christian, how are you handling this? How are you holding up under this so well? I don't understand where that peace comes from. We can say, it's because I know the Lord. It's because of Christ. It's because of His promises. Because He is near to me. It says in verse 7, shall keep your hearts and what? Minds. You know, that's where the enemy can really do a lot of damage in our minds as we let our thoughts go. And we allow those negative or those sad or those discouraging thoughts to sort of consume us like a TV program that we just choose to leave on continuously, on loop. You know, the same sad episode over and over. And sometimes you got to shut off that television. Just shut it off. And it's taking captive those thoughts. It's saying, no, I'm not going to allow my emotions to lead me. Instead, I'm going to turn this over to the Lord. And through Jesus Christ, we can have peace. It says in verse 8, and I love this because it's practical. You know, we hear this phrase all the time. I'm sending you positive thoughts, good vibrations. Those phrases irritate me, by the way. I'm sorry. Just that's my pet peeve. And somebody says, you know, I'm sending positive thoughts. I know what you mean, and I appreciate that you're thinking well about me. But what we really mean is I'm praying for you. I'm talking to the Lord God about your situation. And it's real. And it's genuine. And I have a concern for you. Verse 8 tells us, in regards to counting our blessings and taking captive our thoughts, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Now, Scripture is literally giving us permission not to wallow in the depths of despair, and God is saying, look, here's what you need to do. Count your blessings. It literally tells us, think on things that are true. How many times do I worry and stress over things that never come to pass? I think about things that aren't true all the time. What's going to happen in my country? What's going to happen in my home? What's going to happen in my bank account? What's going to happen in my job? What's going to happen to my loved one? And most of the time, none of those things happen. And so instead, Scriptures direct us to the truth. You know, don't worry about things that haven't happened and might not ever happen. Think on things that are true, things that you know are true. It's true that God loves me. It's true that when I cry out to Him, He hears me. It's true that He will deliver me out of all of my trouble. Maybe not all today, but eventually. I know that's absolutely true. All of my troubles will be gone. My tears, Revelation 21:4 says, will be wiped away. That day is coming, and I have hope. I can look forward to that. We think on things that are honest. I don't have to wallow in sadness or be discouraged by things that might not even be true, things that might not even be accurate, but things that are honest, things that are true, things that are pure, lovely. You know, our world is saturated with so much garbage. We just get a steady diet of it day in and day out. I was in Sobeys there yesterday. I seem to be in there at least four times a week. I don't know if it shows or not, but And I just happened to glance at the magazine racks. And it's, I mean, ever since I was a kid, I remember that magazine rack always lured my eyes, either because a pretty girl or a bizarre painting or picture, I should say, on a magazine. And it's usually garbage. I even see myself different times when my kids were little turning the magazines around in the rack. Yeah, just maybe a little too bold, I don't know. But we're sat everywhere we go. Doctor's office, the television, we all know how that thing works. The news, social media, 24/7, we can't get away from it all the time. Bad news, bad news, bad news, junk, garbage, immorality, sexual impurities and violence and destruction and chaos and sadness and sorrow. We're just inundated, drilled into us continuously. You know, there are still many things about life that are wonderful. Isn't that true? Many things. It is good to be saved. It is good to be alive. It's good to experience the sunrises. It's good to have the rain some days. Today was one of those mornings I was sitting in the early morning reading. And even this afternoon, the rain started to fall again. It was so nice to listen to. I appreciate that. The grass is starting to green up, little things like that. Gary's maple syrup. I mean, there's a lot of things that we have to be thankful for. And so we think on those things. In other words, we count our blessings. We think on things that are true. Capture your thoughts and count your blessings. Secondly, we share our sorrows. It helps. When sadness is overwhelming me, it helps to talk about it. But what's usually the last thing we want to do when we're sad? Talk about it. That's right. We don't want to talk about it. How are you doing today? Oh, I'm good. Inside, I'm just like, rah, Lord, please come today. And say, how are you doing today, Pastor? Oh, I'm great. Yeah. I'm good. Bear ye one another's burdens. Oh, I can't do that. They'll know I'm not perfect. They know I'm not a super Christian. If I tell them that I'm dealing with sadness or discouragement or some issue, they're going to think, oh, he must not be a super Christian like I thought he was. If I bear one another's burdens, if I share my, confess your sins one to another, that frightens us, right? Oh, I can't do that. I don't want to tell anybody that I sinned. Yeah. Secret. We already know. We all know. There isn't anybody. He who says he has no sin is a what? A liar. Ouch. So we may as well be honest about it. And it's not that we're bragging about, hey, you know what? I sinned the other day. Let me tell you all about it. No, it's like, hey, you know what? I'm in turmoil. I'm in sadness over this issue that I'm struggling with. Will you pray with me? That's what it's all about. Yeah, yeah, me too. I know exactly what you mean. And so we share our sorrows with one another. We just read in Psalm 51:17, God wants us to share our sorrows with him. So it would make sense that he would say, yes, bear your burdens with one another. Go to one another. Pray for one another. The prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And so we share our sorrows with one another. There's lots of scriptures that we can look at. But I want to share in a bit of a different direction some of the people that maybe we don't always think about when we talk about sadness or we think about sadness. There's something about, by the way, being sad all alone and being sad with others. It's much easier being sad with other people. Isn't that true? Like when we're all sad together, it just seems to be easier. A funeral. We just went through one a couple of weeks ago. It was like that. There was sadness, but there was also comfort and encouragement and support and strength. There were hugs and smiles and even laughter as stories were told. And there's something about dealing with sadness in a group of other people that love you and want to encourage you, that can empathize. You know, we have our sorrows to thank for our empathy. If I didn't go through the miserable things I sometimes have to go through, I wouldn't be able to genuinely and sincerely say to you, I understand. And that wouldn't maybe help as much as it does when you say, you really do. So we share our sorrows because it helps. Jesus Christ did. He shared his sorrows openly and publicly, literally on the cross, as he hung there before all creation, not pretending that it didn't hurt, but demonstrating that it did hurt. Honest about what he was enduring, what he was going through. When we share our sorrows, it helps to understand that Romans 8:22 and 23 and 24 talk about all of creation groaning and travailing in pain together. It's not just us that's sad. All of creation is sad. I don't fully understand that except according to the Word of God, everything within creation is some kind of is tainted with this curse of sin. That there is a level of sadness all around us. Whether I see it in a dying flower or a sick animal in the woods or whatever the case might be, all of creation is travailing and groaning in pain together. But not just creation. In John 11:35, the shortest verse in the Bible, what does it say? Jesus wept. That wasn't an act. It wasn't pretend. He wasn't, you know, trying to fit in with the rest of humanity. He experienced sadness, sorrow, grief, and he wept because of that. Again, he was a man acquainted with grief. So for him to share his sadness tells me that it's not wrong for me to do the same thing. The Holy Spirit, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30, tells us that there are times when we can do what? Grieve the Holy Spirit. Sadden the Holy Spirit of God who dwells within us. When I disobey, when I walk out of the will of God or I sin against God, the Bible says that I grieve the Holy Spirit of God. That's a sadness that I bring. God himself in Genesis chapter 6, verse 5 and 6, as God was telling Noah about the flood that he was about to bring to the whole world, it says that it repented him that he had created man and that he was grieved at his heart, God. I can't even understand what that must be like for God to grieve. To be saddened over humanity's sinfulness and the way that we hurt and destroy one another grieves his heart. You know, it's one thing, we can watch the news and that's bad enough. God knows every thought of every human being 24/7 all the time. He sees every vile act. He hears every vile word, every violent thing that's ever done. He sees it all. I don't think we could ever understand the depths of the grief of the heart of God. But we can understand this, that he understands us. He can relate. It's not as if God doesn't know or understand sadness. He certainly does. Christ did. The Holy Spirit does. God himself. And so we share our burdens. And throughout Scripture we find encouragement, by the way. Again, the Bible is filled with encouragement because God knew we were going to need it. God knew, be strong and of good courage, fear not, neither be afraid. I am with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. We have promise after promise after promise in God's word of encouragement because God knew we were going to need it. Nowhere does he say, suck it up, princess, like sometimes people say to me. I'm not a princess, by the way. That offends me. God understands that we need that encouragement. Let me share a few names. You'll recognize them. Hannah. She was sad. She was so broken as she was weeping and crying before God, praying for a child, that Eli thought she was drunk. What are you doing? It's so early in the day. You're behaving like this. She said, I'm not drunk. I'm broken. I'm weeping. I'm sad. Hannah understood the sadness that we sometimes have to go through. Israel itself wept before God. They cried as they headed into captivity, and while they were in captivity, they wept as a nation. Jeremiah was known as the weeping prophet. He wept for his people. He understands sadness and sorrow. Hezekiah wept for himself and his own health issues before the Lord. He wept. David wept. Wept often. He wrote about his sorrows, and he wrote about his grief many times throughout Scripture. Peter wept bitterly. Sometimes we find ourselves in situations we didn't expect as Christians. And we break God's heart and it breaks ours. And we weep. And Peter understands that kind of sorrow. And he wept bitterly. Mary wept as she stood outside the empty tomb of the Lord confused. The church wept over Paul as they knew that it might be the last time they ever see him on this side of glory as he headed off to Rome and prison and eventually death. The church wept for him. John wept as he looked and witnessed the vision that Jesus Christ shared to him in Revelation. When the scroll was offered, and John wept because no one was able to open the scroll until Christ stepped up and he was able to open the scroll. But John wept. Jairus wept over his daughter. Jesus Christ looked at him and said, "Don't be afraid, only believe." You know, Jesus himself understands sorrow. And so we share our sadness. And Scripture reminds us of many others who share our sorrows the way that we experience them. We're not alone in our sadness. And there's something about that that helps, again, to know we're not alone. It's easier to be sad with others. Thirdly, as we close here, sadness is a season. And that's good news. Sadness is a season. It's temporary. There's different times in our lives when we have to remind others of that. This is going to pass. I don't know who said it. Somebody said, "This too shall pass." Anybody know who said that? It's not in the Bible, but I remember years ago thinking, is that in the Bible? And it wasn't, but it's true. Sadness is a season that will pass. And I'm thankful for that. It's temporary, and a few things that I wanted to share by way of closing is John 16:33 to begin with. I quoted the first part of that verse. It says, "In the world ye shall have tribulation." The rest of the verse says, "But be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world." You know, so Christ is being honest. So look, it's not going to be easy. It's not going to be a cakewalk. It's going to be hard. Salvation doesn't mean an easy life. It doesn't mean perfect Christianity. It doesn't mean no more problems. It means you're safe. You're safe from hell. You're safe from judgment. You're safe from condemnation. You're a child of God. Blessings and an inheritance of reward waits for you, and he will help you through every step of your life from here on out. But it doesn't mean there won't be sadness. In the end, though, Jesus Christ said, "Be of good cheer, though, for I have overcome the world. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but in the end you will overcome it. Be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world." Revelation 21:4, I quoted this earlier, Jesus Christ, the Lord God there, I guess in chapter 4, it says that God shall wipe away all tears from our eyes. There, neither sadness nor sorrow, neither death, and God will wipe away our tears from our eyes. There's coming a day when sadness will be no more, literally. Well, we won't experience that emotion anymore. Now, I understand we have tears of joy. Sometimes sadness is a little bit confusing. Bawling and crying at a movie that you're watching. Just turn it off. No, I love it. It's wonderful. Okay. But the kind of sorrow that we experience as a result of the consequences of sin, that sadness will be eradicated. It's going to be gone. We will no longer experience that deep, brokenhearted sadness that comes from the sin that we experience, whether it's relationships or grief or death or loss. God's going to wipe away those tears. Psalm 147:3, and I'm just going to share the two words. Mended heart. Tells us in that psalm that God can mend our broken hearts. He can fix what nobody else can. He can fix what's broken. And then Psalm 30:5, weeping may last for a night or endure for a night, but what comes in the morning? Joy comes in the morning. And that's so true. I can remember different times as, not even just as a child, but you go to bed and your heart is heavy and you just don't know how you're going to face another day. A few hours of sleep, so it does something to you. It seems to give you a little strength. God answers prayer, and eventually joy does come. Sadness is only temporary. Share your sorrows with others. Bear one another's burdens. And don't be afraid to talk to the Lord about it as well as other Christians about it. And praise the Lord that we can count our blessings. Capture your thoughts. Think on things that are good, that are true. We have to be proactive. The enemy wants to fill your mind with discouragement and depression and fear and doubt, literally. And we're inundated with that. So we have to think on things that are true, that are good, that are virtuous, of good rapport, honest, lovely. And we take captive our thoughts. We dictate what our emotions do. We don't let our emotions dictate to us. And with God's help, we can have some liberties. We can have some victories over that stuff. So anyway, just a few thoughts on sadness. We have to deal with it. Seems a lot these days. But there is hope and there is help in Christ. And I'm thankful for that. Father, we do give you praise for the day. Lord, we all deal with things. We keep them to ourselves most of the time. But we deal with them. And Lord, we just are thankful that we can know here this evening and be reminded that it doesn't have to be just a private matter. And in actuality, according to your word, it helps when we share our burdens with one another. It helps when we bring our broken hearts to you. You draw near us. You mend our hearts. You give us the comfort that we desire. And Lord, not only you, through your Spirit and through your word, but others who walk in your ways. We find comfort in one another's relationships and fellowships. So Lord, we thank you for that. We thank you that even in the midst of a world where there is sadness, that there is also peace that passeth an understanding, and that we have that hope. Father, as we close tonight, we pray for your blessing. We thank you for the day. In Jesus' name, amen.